Chapter 1 Eudora Page had been eccentric, no question. But until Jack laid eyes on her great-nephew, he hadn't realized she might have been legitimately crazy. The last of the Pages was most definitely a fish out of water. No wonder the citizens of Pirate's Cove were laying bets as to how long he'd stick it out. Long enough to get the bookstore into shape to sell was the likeliest scenario in Jack's opinion. Jack had no feelings on the matter, obviously, but no question, Ellery Page improved the scenery considerably. He was almost comically handsome. Handsome in a tall, brooding, dark-browed, Regency romance kind of way. Hannah had been a big fan of Georgette Heyer's historical romances, and Jack had seen enough of those covers to recognize the Heathcliff type, right down to that unruly black forelock. But despite the alarmingly elegant bone structure, Page seemed low-key and easygoing. Jack regarded him flirting with Libby, well, no, probably not flirting, given that Page was almost certainly gay, joking with Libby over the Salty Dog's limited menu. Unwillingly, his mouth twitched into a half-smile, which he quickly repressed. He was likely going to have to cite Page over those fire code violations, but yeah, he seemed nice. A nice guy. In over his head, for sure. Whatever he'd been doing before he arrived on Buck Island, it probably wasn't working in a bookstore. He sure as hell had never managed one. He sure as hell had never managed anything or anybody. That was an observation, not a criticism. Page had worked his ass off getting the bookstore into shape. He was hard-working, no question. More than once, Jack had watched him sitting by that corner window, nearly dozing off into his, usually, mac and cheese, before dragging himself home to Captain's seat. Jack could have told him he didn't have to kill himself getting the place ready to put on the market. The Crow's Nest was sitting on prime real estate. Page could sell tomorrow, if he only knew it, and for a pretty decent chunk of change. Apparently, he did not know it. And, of course, the Islanders wanted him to stay, the last of the Pages, and all that. That had to be a New England thing, the preoccupation with bloodlines and family history. You don't come across that stuff in L.A. Granted, you came across other, even less pleasant stuff. Anyway, Page would surely list the Crow's Nest any day now. It was about as fixed up as it was going to get. Spring was the peak season for commercial real estate, so yeah. Page would be long gone by the time the summer rolled around. Jack liked the summer. The summers kept him too busy to think about anything but the job. That's the way he preferred it. He liked going home at night, too tired to do anything but fall into bed and sleep. Sleep and hopefully not dream. Not that the dreams were as bad as they'd once been. He went weeks now, sometimes even a month at a time, never dreaming of Hannah or the baby or his old life. Thank Christ for small mercies. The door to the pub blew open on a sharp gust of wintry night air. David Fish and his band, dressed in pirate costume, of course, lugged their instruments inside the crowded tap room, pushing toward the small stage at the front. The eerie, piped-in music was cut off mid-ballad. Jack hadn't realized he was staring at Page until Page glanced up and caught his gaze. Even from across the room, Jack could see Paige's dark eyes widen like a deer in the headlights. Could he look any more guilty? Jack sighed inwardly. Yep, He was definitely going to have to sight him over those damned ceiling vents. Paige nodded with an unenthusiastic hello. Jack nodded back and returned to studying the menu. Like, if he looked long and hard enough, he was going to find something new hiding between the familiar lines. A few hours later. Be careful what you wish for. As much as Jack welcomed the chance to sink his teeth into something more challenging than another domestic disturbance, he really wished his first homicide in Pirate's Cove had not occurred on the premises of the Crow's Nest. Really wished his prime suspect was not Ellery Page. Page's demeanor was exactly right. Jack had to give him that. He seemed genuinely sick and shaken. In fact, 2 hours after finding the body, he still looked a little green around the gills. For sure, he was upset and scared. But that didn't mean so much. Jack had once had to question a woman who'd passed out cold after discovering her husband's body, and yet, as it turned out, she was the one who'd poisoned him. Third try, no less. Plenty of murderers found the experience of homicide nearly as upsetting as their victims, especially once the police were involved. When was the last time you spoke to Maples? Jack asked again. He could see the repetition irritated Paige, but that was the point. It was when people were tired, irritated, stressed, that their stories started to change. Paige was all of those things, but so far, his story had stayed as consistent as if he was reading from a script. Maybe he was, although it was hard to believe that knifing Mabel's in the Crow's Nest had been premeditated. If so, it was the stupidest plan ever. Then again, murder was stupid. I told you, Paige said tersely. This afternoon. He offered to buy the Crow's Nest again. He told me I could name my price, within reason. He had very pretty eyes, perfectly shaped brows, velvety long lashes, eyes a shade of hazel that reminded Jack of oil-rubbed bronze. Eyes like a spaniel, he thought cynically, and with that same aggrieved look spaniels got when they felt like they were being unfairly punished. What was your price? I told him I didn't want to sell. This was news, or more probably fake news. Did he buy that? Paige seemed confused. Did he accept your refusal? A hint of color returned to Paige's ghostly face. Oh, no. I don't know. I think he thought I was still negotiating for a better price. Were you? No. No. Paige couldn't be serious, but he shook his head, insisting. I like it here. I told him that. I wouldn't be going to all this trouble of renovating the shop if my plan was just to sell. This did not compute. Jack's brows drew together. You're planning to stay in Pirate's Cove? Well, yes, that was the idea. That was my great aunt's idea. Same what? Paige had abandoned his entire life based on the whim of a woman he'd never met? It wasn't like he'd inherited a fortune. The opposite. The bookshop was a money pit. And the house was even worse. That house was a money sinkhole, if Jack knew anything about it. And, in fact, he did know a few things about construction and renovation. Paige's inheritance was a financial disaster on an isolated island where he didn't know a single soul. And yet, he was pretending he intended to abandon ship on his former life? No way. But why lie? Did he think, well, What the hell did he think? Was he running from something? Did he have a rap sheet? Paige's pretty hazel gaze held Jack's unwaveringly. His expression was perfectly serious, even earnest. Yeah, Paige's past would bear looking into. Jack made a couple of notes. He could feel Paige's eyes locked on him, trying to read what he was writing. Interestingly, Paige kept quiet. Guilty people talked too much. They tried to fill the silence with pointless words, distracting words. As nervous as Paige was, he kept his mouth shut. The scratch of Jack's pencil was the only sound in the small back office. "How's the shop doing?" Jack asked when it was clear Paige was not going to volunteer anything. He felt rather than saw Paige's shrug. Jack studied him. "Could you be more specific?" "From what everyone tells me, this is the slow season." "To put it mildly." "But you're turning a profit?"
"No."
"You're breaking even?" Paige made a face. It was kind of cute, kind of charming, which he was no doubt aware of.
"No."
"You're losing money." It was not a question. Paige said slowly, "The renovations cost money, but that's to be expected." Sure, it was to be expected, but most people could only absorb that kind of financial hit if they had considerable resources or knew they could count on a big windfall. Jack pushed back in his chair, the better to watch Paige's reaction. He said casually, "I remember your aunt. She was quite a character, and not one to beat about the bush. According to her, the crow's nest had been running in the red for some time. The last time I spoke to her, she was weighing whether to sell up or close the doors for good." The deer in the headlights look was back. "Was she going to sell to Trevor Maples?" "You tell me." Paige stared into Chief Carson's eyes. He looked genuinely surprised and genuinely concerned. But then something changed. A glint of something sparked in his gaze. Defiance? Stubbornness? Maybe just a glimmer of unexpected toughness. "All I know is that my great aunt left the bookstore and her house to me. And I'm doing my best to turn things around. The business is doing as expected for this time of year. If there was an agreement with Trevor, I'm unaware of it. And Mr. Landry, great-great-great-aunt Eudora's lawyer, was unaware of it." Fair enough. Jack hadn't believed Eudora was seriously thinking of selling, though he wouldn't have blamed her if she had. He made another note. "How would you describe your relationship with Mr. Maples?" Paige didn't answer. He was staring blankly at a stack of battered framed paintings leaning against the wall. "Mr. Paige." Paige turned his blank gaze toward Jack. "What?" "Tell me about your relationship with Mr. Maples." Paige seemed to shake off his preoccupation. "There was no relationship. He wanted to buy the bookstore. I didn't want to sell. He wasn't used to being told no." Paige shrugged. "It's fair to say the relationship was contentious." "I don't know that it's fair to say that. It's not like we exchanged words." Paige seemed to rethink. "It's not like we came to blows." Jack sighed inwardly. This was starting to feel only too predictable. "How many times would you say you and Maples argued?" Paige scowled. "I'm not sure where you're going with this, Chief, but you saw me in the Salty Dog this evening. I have an alibi. You can confirm my alibi, right?"
"Yep. Predictable.
I saw you in the Salty Dog just after 7 this evening. You were there for about 45 minutes. The ME's preliminary examination puts Maple's time of death between 5 and 7 p.m. So, as alibis go, Paige gulped. Yes, an actual cartoon-quality gulp. Jack had to swallow an inappropriate laugh. What a shame Paige was probably a murderer, because despite the circumstances, he was pretty damned amusing. Jack said briskly, Mr. Paige, if I may ask, where were you tonight between 5 p.m. and 7 p.m.?
Here,
in the crow's nest. The shop was still open at 5 o'clock. I didn't close up until 6:30. Can anyone confirm that? Did you have customers, deliveries? Did anyone stop by to chat? Paige lost the little color he'd regained. No, he could not confirm that. He worried it for a moment, and then blurted out, Wouldn't someone have heard the shot? Wait, rewind. Jack raised his head and regarded Paige. If that expression was not for real, Paige should have gone into acting rather than bookselling. Jack repeated neutrally, Shot? Paige said eagerly, Yes. The businesses on either side of me stay open until 5. If Trevor had walked into the crow's nest and I'd shot him, surely someone would have heard that. He'd seen the body. Did he not know what gunshots? Well, okay, maybe he didn't. Maybe he hadn't looked too closely. When Jack arrived, Paige had been outside with the shop door shut, which could indicate a certain level of squeamishness. Jack suggested, Maybe you used a silencer. Paige's eyes went wide. Where would I get a silencer? I'm not a hitman. I don't even own a gun, let alone a silencer. That was certainly the right answer, and delivered in exactly the right tone of voice. Still, what you're saying is no one can corroborate your claim that the shop was still open until 6:30? I'm not saying that. I'm saying I can't think of anyone. But someone could have noticed. One of my neighbors, or maybe someone walking past. Paige was getting more and more indignant, as well as a little exasperated, which was the reaction of an innocent person. The problem was, well, there were a lot of problems, starting with the fact that, as unpleasant as Trevor Maples could be, no one had bothered to kill him until Ellery Paige showed up. Paige was still protesting. This is such a ridiculous scenario. You're suggesting I killed someone and then calmly went to dinner and came back here and pretended to find the body? It's not as far-fetched as you might imagine. It was a little far-fetched, yes. But magical thinking on the part of murderers was not unknown in homicide investigations. In fact, some of the convoluted scenarios Jack had been presented with through the years would have been funny if they hadn't involved the death of another person. The forensics people checked my hands. Wouldn't they have seen the gunpowder residue, or whatever you call it? Oddly enough, Jack kind of liked the fact that Paige was arguing logically, intelligently. A lot of people, innocent people, even smart people, lost the ability to think clearly when they were frightened. Paige was clearly frightened, but he was still thinking, and Jack gave him points for that. He listened, said, finally admitted, It doesn't work like that. Well, how does it work? I'll ask the questions. I don't think that's very fair, Paige protested. When I might be able to come up with something that helps my case? Jack scribbled into his notebook, muttered, Pretty unlikely. No, it's not. What's my motive? Tell me that. Motive, the big why. so beloved by mystery authors and screenwriters, but actually one of the least important blocks in building a criminal case, definitely one of the least important blocks in getting an indictment. Granted, juries loved motive. They loved DNA more, though. Jack said shortly, "I'd say your motive for getting rid of Maples is the same as his for wanting to buy you out. You're both struggling to survive in a town that can't support one of you, let alone both." Paige's jaw dropped. He was almost distractingly expressive. "You think I killed Trevor to wipe out my competition? Did you?"
"No! That's..."
Paige swallowed the rest of it and half-whispered,
"No."
"But you admit Maples was your main competition."
"No.
Trevor sells books, but they're all antiques, first editions, and that kind of thing. He considered himself an antiquarian. I'm just a guy running an ordinary bookstore." Jack had no response to that. He suspected it was probably true. "Besides, most of Trevor's business was antique furniture. We weren't really competitors."
"According to Maples, you were."
That shut Paige up. Martin stuck his head in the office. "We're wrapping things up now, Chief." Jack nodded. "Thanks." Paige gathered himself, pushing shakily to his feet, asked, "Is that it? Or am I under arrest?" He was terrified of the answer. Because he was innocent or because he was guilty? If Jack was a betting man, he'd have said innocent. Except Paige had to be their guy. There really wasn't anyone else. Even so, they didn't have enough on him yet. Jack had never been a fan of hammering suspects till they broke and confessed. He preferred to come in with a mountain of evidence, show his subject that resistance was futile, and then sweep away the debris. Less chance of someone recanting, more chance someone would be willing to make a deal. That was better for everyone. That's it for now. Jack laid his pencil on his open notebook. "Thanks for your cooperation. You can go." There it was again. That little spark of rebellion in Paige's green-brown eyes. "Aren't you going to tell me not to leave town?" Jack's brows rose. "Are you planning to leave town? 15 minutes ago you told me you planned to stay in Pirate's Cove."
"I am.
Planning to stay, I mean." "Good. This is an ongoing investigation. The expectation is you'll keep yourself available for further questioning." Paige gave another of those Looney Tunes gulps. Jack nodded at the office door in dismissal. Paige made for the door, nearly misstepping, as Jack added, "One other thing." Paige waited. "I'll need you to inventory the store and let me know what, if anything, is missing." Paige nodded. "And I'll need that as soon as possible."
"Yes, of course."
Paige turned automatically and walked out of the office. Jack returned to his notes,